Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to the Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-ah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. We are proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. We're going to start by talking with David Bob about our nation's Bill of Rights. Then we'll learn about how HelpVet.net helps veterans and their families. Of course, we'll conclude with military history and our self-defense report. It's a pleasure to introduce Dr. David Bob. He's the Bill of Rights Institute's executive team president. He's been doing that for about 10 years. He's taught government at the college level, including Boston College and Hillsdale College, to which I say, wow. Welcome, David. Glad you could join us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Denny.
David, we military folks took an oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States, and the Bill of Rights is a huge part of that Constitution. So one would expect that most Americans, and especially military folks, would know a lot about it, but they don't. Like you, David, I taught American government at several colleges over the past 15 or so years. It was my clear observation that very few of our students knew anything about our Constitution, and what many thought they knew about our Bill of Rights was wrong. What's your experience in this area?
The same, unfortunately. And I should say, first off, thank you so much for the opportunity to join you. I'm grateful for what you've done, not only in serving our country, but also in this excellent service that you do in getting information out about the Constitution, about the Bill of Rights, about that oath that you and so many millions of others in our country have taken. I am grateful for that. I had an opportunity over the holiday break to watch Saving Private Ryan with my two sons, who are 13 and 11. And it's a thing that we all have to take seriously, whether military service has been part of our family tradition or not. And like you noted, I think there's a real gap right now. It can become easy hundreds of years on after the founding of any republic to take it for granted. And I fear that that's sometimes what we do. We have deprioritized civic education in our schools. My organization, the Bill of Rights Institute, is seeking to address that and to educate young people across the country. But the level of awareness of the Constitution and what it means in everyday life is really at a low place. And the other kind of disturbing thing here is how many people just say, and I don't even care that I don't know. It doesn't bother me. You know, sometimes there's been kind of shame in that, or at least some awareness that ignorance is not good. And today we find that there's others who are growing in the sentiment, especially among young Americans, who would say, for example, the principles of the Declaration of Independence are corrupt, and they were corrupt and bad from the get-go. So there's even a souring on those ideas, not just a kind of ignorance or apathy about them.
Yes, sir. I agree with you. And it's easy to say that, particularly if you don't know what they say. It's sort of hard to read those words and come up with that conclusion, but that doesn't stop people who haven't read the words or haven't taken them seriously. This is a serious issue in our country, and I'm so delighted that you could join us today so we can talk about it.
It is a serious one, and what I find is that when you talk to our fellow citizens across the country, and you can pause for a minute and say, you know, what really holds us together as one people? Because, you know, if you go back to July 4th, 1776, that was a declaration of independence that pronounced the American people as one. What are we united around? You know, fast forward to July 4th, 2026. Is that going to be a celebration? Is it going to be a lament? Is it going to be a big fight? I suspect that it might be some of all of those things. And what we need to strive together to do, I believe, is work for a civic education that starts when kids are young, but continues through every age and stage of one's maturation as a citizen. We never arrive at that point where we say, boy, now I'm set. You know, I know what I need to know as a country. It's all good, and we can coast. And I think that's the thing that I'm really struck by in my study of history and my formal trainings in political science, But when you look at history and politics and government, you realize what a fragile thing it is to actually have freedom.
Yes, sir. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. David Bob about our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. David, I could not agree more. If you don't know who you are and what you stand for, it's very easy to ignore it, and it's easy to lose track of it. And suddenly, this is the point you're making, I'm sure, that glue that holds us together is gone. And this is the most prosperous nation in the world. We have the more freedom than anyone else. We've had it longer than anyone else. There's very few nations anywhere that even come close to us. There's something like 200 nations in the world. There are certainly 150 of them are one form or another of dictatorship, though they call themselves democracies or republics or something. And most people don't have a clue. And we, if we're going to save our nation, need to do what you're talking about. We need to get this education going again.
Absolutely. At the memorial for those who fought in Korea, the words are emblazoned, freedom is not free. And I think the oath, you started with that idea, is such an important one. You know, while American citizens who are not naturalized, but who have come to that citizenship by nature of their being born here, it can be easy to take it for granted, but this education is not intimidating. I think that's one of the things that we've kind of done with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. We've made it the domain of lawyers. And what we need to do in our civic education is claim it back in a way and say, yes, it's a legal document, it's an illegal instrument, but it's also the vision statement for our country when you look at the Declaration. And we have a kind of operating manual or instructions in the Constitution. And you can read the document, read both documents really in under an hour. You know, one of my friends who teaches in a big high school in Ann Arbor, Michigan, would on Constitution Day every year ask his students to just solemnly stand and read one clause in the Constitution. And it'd take them about a half an hour to read the whole document, including the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments, and then the other 17 that have been added since the early days of our nation. And then they'd have a party and they'd celebrate what you just said, Denny, that kind of majesty of the fact that we've put freedom and equality as the goal. We haven't always lived up to that goal, but you know, one of the remarkable things about America is that we have had the means in stating that goal to judge our actions and to say, this is when we have done well by that standard of liberty and equality for all. This is when we have fallen short. And a recognition of that has driven us to more progress and unfolding and making those rights real in people's lives than for any other nation on earth. And that's something I believe is very much worthy of celebration. We've lost that spirit today more than we'd like.
We really have. That hits the nail on the head. And it's something that we can do something about, but we have to do it. Parents have to, this really all starts with parents. Parents need to have the attitude that their children have to know about the Bill of Rights, about the Constitution, about the Declaration of Independence, about the history of our nation. And they learn it at home and celebrate it at home by celebrating on the 4th of July and on other occasions when our history indicates it's appropriate. And if that were to happen, then what happens or doesn't happen at the schools would be less important. But frankly, we need both. We need the parents and we need the schools. And that's K-12 and colleges to stand up for the nation that we are. There's more to discuss about the Bill of Rights, and David's going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time to run hard for a couple of miles. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. David and I will be right back.
$30 trillion in debt, 20 years of endless war, and veterans not able to get the care they deserve. These are some of the issues Concerned Veterans for America is confronting head-on. At CVA, we aim to amplify the veteran perspective to create a better future for all Americans. But we need your help. Join CVA in shaping a better tomorrow for you, your family, and your community. Visit cv4a.org to learn more and join the movement. That's cv4a.org.
Troops, if you ever have to defend yourself or your family with your firearm, you'll need legal representation. That's why I'm a member of U.S. Law Shield. They provide the best self-defense insurance that I've found. They recommend that you not even talk to the police without an attorney present. They provide unlimited attorney coverage as needed at a very reasonable rate. Check uslawshield.com, uslawshield.com, and use the code FRONTLINES. That's one word, FRONTLINES. You'll be glad you did. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Dr. David Bobb from the Bill of Rights Institute. David, we're imperfect. We're all imperfect. We have spouses to remind us if we'd forgotten that. So our nation is not perfect. It's never been perfect. But we have as good or better, well, we have by far the best foundation for anyone. We set the right goals. We can judge. We continue to improve. What more are you looking for somebody or some nation to be doing? But that question isn't being asked, is it?
Not as much as it should. And I think one of the things that I found in teaching the principles of the American founding for about 25 years is that if you start from the beginning and you think of the fact that we do have a birthday, not many nations do, what are we marking by that? What are we marking on that occasion? For the founders of this country, they believed that human beings are flawed, but they're also capable of self-government. And there's a realism in that. They're saying, we're not going to create perfection on earth, but we are going to strive for something and put as the cornerstone of our country, for the first time in human history, the idea that all human beings are created equal and that they're endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights. That's a remarkable beginning point. And what it's done is at every point in our nation's history, from the jump, given us a means of accountability. The founders were eminently aware of the egregious violation of the laws of nature that was the institution of slavery. They recognized and saw that it was an evil, and as James Wilson said, did not do as much as they should. It's okay for us to admit that without losing faith in the fact that they did so much, because in writing those words, in establishing those principles, they gave us a means and they gave subsequent generations, as Frederick Douglass and the suffragettes and those who fought for civil rights in the 20th century recognized. Think of all of the things that they repaired to. It was the Declaration of Independence, right? When yes. John Lewis, Frederick Douglass, the suffragists, every generation of Americans that have fought, including those who have fought and died, have had some cognizance, usually, that there's something worthwhile here. And that's the principles that are at the foundation. That's why I think it's so vital that we go back to those principles. And the other thing that's so important here, you talked about it with the parents. Parents and teachers model character. That can be for good or ill. We need certain habits of character, moral and civic virtue that will sustain our formal government. You know, you can write the documents, the founders said. They were pretty confident in their ability to get a really great document. And I think they came up with something that truly has proven remarkable. But what they were worried about is, are we as a people going to have the character? Think of it kind of like the informal constitution, the way we are as a people to uphold that form of government. And that's what really is at stake today. Do we wish to stay together as one people? I think the answer is a resounding yes. Despite our polarization, do we have the character to pull back from some of the things that right now are dividing us and repair to those principles? What Frederick Douglass called the saving principles, in fact, in order to be able to chart the next 250 years for our country.
And it is what you said. We have a document that is as well written as anything could be. At the time of our revolution, two states, I think Tennessee and South Carolina, were the ones that would not join up against Britain unless we kept the ban of slavery out of the Constitution. We're about to fight the most powerful nation in the world. We needed everybody aboard. Yes, that's a rationalization, but we're imperfect. All the movement has been in the right direction. And yes, slavery is evil, but name one country in the world that hasn't had slavery, and most of them still do. So you've got to look at this from a real perspective, don't we?
I think, you know, that's absolutely vital. And I think the real perspective comes from this, that the founders, sometimes we think of them, well, they were kind of just creatures of their age. But in fact, they saw farther than their age, because they saw a future in which human beings could live with equal rights under law. And that's something remarkable. They did not, you know, I mentioned James Wilson. I was just with a bunch of teachers and colleagues of mine from the Bill of Rights Institute at a wonderful archive, the Historical Society of Pennsylvania. And they were good enough to bring out some of their original copies of the Declaration and the Constitution. And this guy, Wilson, who was one of the main crafters of the Constitution, in his longhand, you see written on the side, free speech. So he's writing out the original draft of the Constitution, and he puts over to the side free speech. And one of the things that you see is that there's a recognition from the get-go that we need to be able to have the ability to have free expression, a free exchange of ideas, a robust exchange of ideas. Wilson was also of the mind, as I mentioned just a few minutes ago, that despite good efforts to put slavery on course of ultimate extinction, as Abraham Lincoln said, the founders wished that they had been able to do more and wished that they had done more, Wilson included. That was the perspective that Frederick Douglass takes. And I think that's a good reminder of what we can do today, which is to recognize that the ability for us to latch on to saving principles and to look at that as our North Star means that we can say, even to our fellow Americans who right now are feeling very alienated from the idea of the Constitution, the Declaration, they feel like those documents weren't meant for them, or maybe that the prosperity that so many in this country have enjoyed has eluded them. They feel like they're on the outside looking in. And Douglass knew, as a former slave, what that meant and what that felt like. And I think it's vital that today we reach out to our fellow citizens who are feeling alienated and give them that message of hope that says, we recognize that there is still progress yet to come, but that doesn't mean that it vitiates the progress that we have made or the fact that we have these principles. That's a unique position in human history. And that's something I think that Americans have given the rest of the world. You know, you think about ways that you can honor America today. Go to a naturalization ceremony with your kids. Look at those immigrants who are coming to this country legally and saying, I want to become a citizen. And what they talk about is equality, freedom, the rule of law, the ability to live so that one's destiny can be fulfilled as a human being and as a citizen with rights. That's a remarkable legacy and something that we should celebrate today.
Yes, sir. I could not agree more. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Dr. David Bobb. David, we're about out of time, but I don't want to let you go away without talking about the Bill of Rights Institute. How can people plug in? How can people get involved? And I'll bet you're a nonprofit. You'd even accept gifts. Tell us, please.
We are a nonprofit, and we rely on the generosity of donors all across the country, some tens of thousands in the last couple of years that have stepped forward. We're about a 20-year-old organization. And put simply, we teach civics. We take those ideas that we've been talking about, Denny, and put them at the heart of our work, supporting a network of 65,000 educators, teachers in all 50 states and the District of Columbia, who are reaching more than 6.5 million students. Everything that we publish, and that comes from videos on YouTube to full-fledged curricula, digital textbooks you might think of in history, civics, lots of other topics even that we've discussed, all of that is available to parents, teachers, and students free of charge. If people go to mybri.org, all of those materials are available free of charge. And for educators in your audience, we run professional learning programs all across the country and online. Those are also free of charge to teachers. And we'd love to learn from those who are in your listening audience how we can help them and serve them in their needs for incorporating civics as a daily part of work with their kids and those who are in their communities.
That's awesome. Thank you, David, for taking time to join us today. And thank you for your service to our nation's Constitution and our Bill of Rights. I'm proud to call you a friend.
Thank you, Colonel Gillum. It's a great honor to join you today, and I look forward to continuing the conversation.
Yes, sir. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss helpvet.net with Steve Wilson, then we'll open our weekly mailbag. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm, twice. Then take a break, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And it's a pleasure to welcome back to the show my good friend Steve Wilson. Lots of good Americans really appreciate the service to our nation provided by our military and veterans and their families. But Steve has actually done something to help vets. So welcome back to the show, Steve.
It's a pleasure, Denny. Thank you. It's actually an honor always when you have me on air. It's great to talk about the issues and the needs of those that have sacrificed and served for our country's freedoms. I think a lot of the individuals in our country these days have forgotten the sacrifice of what you guys have done for the freedoms that we get to enjoy. And I think you guys deserve more than what this country is providing, as we've spoken of in the past.
Yes, sir. Steve, give us a little bit about your background and tell us how and why you created HelpVet.net.
Denny, HelpVet came into existence back in January of 2018, really to bridge the gap between families that get benefits and those that don't. We have approximately 18,230,000 smart veterans who served our country. Less than 50% are entitled to the benefits that the VA does provide. Mostly it's based upon time served, whether a person saw combat, whether they were deployed, whether it's peacetime, and there are many other conditions, as you well know. But the sad part is you've got around 9 million that's served that are limited to what the VA provides. It also means the families are limited to what the VA provides. But I think that the saddest part is there are over 9 million that serve that really don't get any health care help through the VA. Most don't get any form of financial aid like pensions. Some don't even qualify for a VA home loan. So we were formed to bridge that gap. One of the ways that we do it, obviously, is through getting the word out through the radio show. But also, we have business cards that are hand-delivered to all of the VFW posts, the American Legion halls, and inside every VA hospital that have what they call a vet center. So when a veteran goes down to the VA and finds out that they might not be qualified, they might not have served enough time, they don't have enough points, or whatever the case might be, they're sent now into the vet center, and they're handed one of our cards. Our cards are very informative. It's got our name, a little bit of information about us, what we provide, and our phone number, our toll-free phone number down on the bottom. But we encourage anybody that's listening, anybody that receives the card, anybody that hears word of mouth about our organization to give us a call. We really do provide as many services as possible that the VA does not help you with, but we also provide information and resources for the benefits. We provide opportunities for federal, state, and local grants, student loans, jobs, apprentice programs. The resources and information are kept current, and they're updated 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. But our mission really is to provide easy access to the most reliable and comprehensive and indispensable veteran and military resources that are available out there today, Denny.
You know, and you do really do that well. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Steve Wilson about HealthVet.net. Steve, basically, there's no requirement to check into HealthVet.net. And if there's help there, it can be all kinds of different help, some of it free, some of it at discounted rates, all kinds of things. But there's help there. Is that a fair summary?
Everything that HealthVet does to the veteran and military community, Denny, is actually done gratis. We don't charge vets. We don't charge your families. We don't charge active military for any of the work that really we really put in. And we really go in depth to try to find services, local services, that are in your backyard on things that the VA really doesn't provide. For example, I helped an individual a couple of months ago find counseling in Colorado Springs when the VA was not effective for him or wasn't available to him based upon benefits. So all veterans, active military, and their families through HealthVet.net have free access to vital information and invaluable resources that affect our lives both economically and socially. But also, we find local representation in your own backyard by creating relationships between local businesses, the veterans, the active military members, and the families. We are actually showing our support for the over 18 million vets and countless family members that have sacrificed for the freedoms that a lot of Americans take for granted.
What I really appreciate is your not only understanding, but your focus on recognizing the members of the family also served, and that we need to help and take care of them, and that HealthVet.net is there for them too. That's one of the really important things to me as I listen to what you say.
Without a doubt. A lot of America today doesn't realize what they do when they train young men and women and send them off to a foreign land. You guys are told when to get up, when to go to sleep, when to eat, when not to eat, when to go to the bathroom, when not to go to the bathroom. You're sent out on patrols into these areas where you might not speak the language. You might have a young woman and a kid coming at you. They may be just looking for water and candy, and you might have a thought of, you know, losing your life to them. So, yeah, HealthVet is on the forefront of trying to provide all services to the entire military community, whether you did serve or whether you're a family member. Because the family members, as you well know, Denny, serve just as alongside as those that are sent to a foreign land. We've spoken about that before. And I believe you told me many times that the services that HealthVet provides were not available to you when you were in service and they were desperately needed. So we help people find counseling. We help people find CPAs, attorneys, realtors, insurance agency owners, healthcare professionals. So, Denny, you know, one of the things that HealthVet is really interested in is making sure that the veteran community is not taking advantage of. So, for example, let's say you've got a halfway decent pension. You've got a decent job after you come out of the military. And instead of being put in the hands of an institutional broker that sells insurance product that make their commissions and you end up paying fees and keeping the lights on at the institution, our organization seeks out in your local community people called fiduciaries who have your best interest in mind and teach you slow and steady, just like the military believes in, compounded interest over time, tax-free passive retirement income that's going to last well past your lifetime, as well as your kids and your grandkids. And then on top of that, we'll set you up with a local estate attorney that's going to teach you how to leave a legacy so that your kids and your grandkids don't rip their throats out trying to get back to what you have left behind. Our main purpose is to make sure that you guys are taken care of down to the local level. Certainly when the VA doesn't provide you services, that's where we step in.
Wow. Steve, HealthVet.net is just awesome. And it's pretty easy to identify. It's pretty easy to make contact with them, isn't it?
Yeah. Most people do contact us through our website. The best way to contact us is email. And the best email to use is support@helpvet.net. That's support@helpvet.net. HealthVet is not an offshoot or a line item on a large budget. We're focused on interfacing local businesses with all veterans, active military members, and their families. We place them directly in the hands of the business owner that can supply the solution for their need. So we have a call to order. Our mission is to provide services to all veterans, active military members, and their families. We're constantly building upon a nationwide network of dedicated professional businesses committed to providing all vets, all the active militaries and the families, a caliber of expert services that are unequaled. And we seek out local businesses that are willing to provide their services to anybody that has served or anybody within the military community, including their families. So if you're a local business that would like to support HealthVet and also support those that have sacrificed for your freedoms, by all means, send us an email at support@healthvet.net. You can also put a little note in there that you'd like to speak to Steve Wilson, and I'd be more than happy to contact you back.
Steve, that's awesome. Folks, I think it should be pretty clear why Steve and I are friends and why I really appreciate HealthVet.net. Steve, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for what you do every day to support our military community, our military families. I appreciate you, bro.
Kenny, I just want to say thank you so very much for all the hard work that you've done over the years to keep us informed on what's going on within the military community and surrounding with the families as well. So I just want to say one more time to you, Denny, thank you so much for inviting me and always having an open heart and really pushing out the application of HealthVet through all the listeners and people through word of mouth. So, Denny, again, God bless you. God bless those that have served our country. God bless those that have put on that uniform to keep our country and my family free. And God bless all those that have ever put on that uniform, the brave men and women of our armed forces, those, their families, and the United States of America, Denny. God bless you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Troops, if you're a veteran who's having trouble getting your disability approved by the VA, contact Barry Law. Reach them at PTSDlawyers.com. That's PTSDlawyers.com. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups now. How about 60 more? I want your ranger ready. Then stand at ease.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com. Hit the shop now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online. See how we give back. For the servicemen and women of this great country, we are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM. 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com. Promo code FREEDOM.
Do you have a story inside you yearning to come out? As a self-published author, you are free to creatively distribute your book online or using your own professional connections. White Feather Press will publish your manuscript and set up online distribution, allowing the author to retain all copyright and distribution rights as well as all profits. Check out White Feather Press at publishyourdream.com. White Feather Press, reaffirming faith in God, family, and country.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. And team, it's mailbag time. I do welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment? You'll love this one.
Sam, a Marine drill sergeant, said he'd heard you suggest that drill instructors can't even yell at recruits anymore. Sam doesn't know if that's true for the other services, but they sure can and do in the Marine Corps.
Sam, that's great news. Keep yelling, Marines. Skip, did they yell at you?
Yes, and they enjoyed it too. Sadistical. Okay. Oh, but anyways, I digress. Army mom Sarah really liked the discussion on trauma therapy. She hopes her son will never need it.
Sarah, it's good, and it's good that it's there for whoever needs it, and I hope your son doesn't need it either. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 10 January 1776, Thomas Paine published his pamphlet, Common Sense, setting forth the arguments for American independence. Although little used today, pamphlets were an important medium for the spread of ideas in the 16th through 19th centuries. Paine was born in England in 1737. He worked as a sailor and schoolteacher before becoming a prominent pamphleteer. In 1774, Paine arrived in Philadelphia and came to support American independence. His 47-page pamphlet sold some 500,000 copies and had a powerful influence on American opinion. Paine served in the U.S. Army and worked for the Committee of Foreign Affairs before returning to Europe in 1787. Back in England, he continued writing pamphlets in support of revolution. He released The Rights of Man, supporting the French Revolution in 1791, in answer to Edmund Burke's famous Reflections on the Revolution in France, 1790. His sentiments were highly unpopular with the British government, so he fled to France but was later arrested for his political opinions. He returned to the U.S. in 1802 and died in New York in 1809.
The dude was a real patriot. Okay, on 12 June 1861, during the Civil War, Fort Barrancas and the Pensacola Navy Yard, commanded by Captain James Armstrong, U.S. Navy, were seized by the Florida and Alabama militia. Union troops escaped across the bay to Fort Pickens on Santa Rosa Island, a position which remained in Union hands throughout the Civil War.
And on 12 January 1918, during World War I, the Distinguished Service Cross was established by President Woodrow Wilson. General Pershing, commander-in-chief of the expeditionary forces in France, had recommended that recognition other than the Medal of Honor be authorized for the armed forces of the United States for service rendered in like manner to that awarded by the European armies. The request for establishment of the medal was forwarded from the Secretary of War to the President in a letter dated December 28, 1917.
And we got it. The Distinguished Service Cross is ranked right under the Medal of Honor. The Navy calls it the Navy Cross. The Air Force calls it the Air Force Cross. On 10 January 1923, 4 years after the end of World War I, President Warren Harding ordered U.S. occupation troops stationed in Germany to return home. In 1917, after several years of bloody stalemate along the Western Front, the entrance of America's well-supplied forces into World War I was a major turning point in the conflict. When the war ended in November 1918, over 2 million American soldiers had served on the battlefields of Western Europe, and more than 50,000 of them had lost their lives. As a part of the Treaty of Versailles, signed the next year, U.S. troops, along with other Allied forces, were to occupy the defeated Central Powers nations to enforce the terms of the peace agreement. In Germany, Allied occupation and the stiff war reparations levied against the country were regarded with increasing bitterness, and in 1923, after 4 years of contending with resentful German populace, the American troops were ordered home.
And on 10 January 1942, the Ford Motor Company signed on to make Jeeps, the new general-purpose military vehicles desperately needed by American forces in World War II. The original Jeep design was submitted by the American Bantam Car Company. The Willis Overland Company won the Jeep contract, however, using a design similar to Bantam's but with certain improvements. The Jeep was in high demand during wartime, and Ford soon stepped in to lend its huge production capacity to the effort. By the end of the war, the Jeep had won a place in the hearts of Americans and soon became a popular civilian vehicle. And that catchy name? Some say it comes from the initials GP for general purpose. Others say it was named for Jeep the Moondog, the spunky and durable creature who accompanied Popeye through the comics pages.
I wonder which it was.
I don't know, but I worked on a lot of Jeeps when I was in, and I know you did too, Colonel.
Yes, sir. And on the 13th of January, 1951, during the Korean War, President Truman told General MacArthur to withdraw his forces if continued resistance was no longer militarily possible, and even then, if practical, continue to resist from islands off Korea's coast. Quote, "In the worst case," said Truman, "it would be important that, if we must withdraw from Korea, it be clear to the world that the course is forced upon us by military necessity, and that we will not accept the result politically or militarily until the aggression has been rectified."
And on 12 January 1962, during the Vietnam War, our Air Force launched Operation Ranch Hand, a modern technological area denial technique designed to expose the roads and trails used by the Viet Cong. Flying C-123 providers, U.S. personnel dumped an estimated 19 million gallons of defoliating herbicides over 10 to 20% of Vietnam and parts of Laos between 1962 and 1971. Agent Orange, named for the color of its metal containers, was the most frequently used defoliating herbicide. The operation succeeded in killing vegetation, but not in stopping the Viet Cong. The use of these agents was controversial, both during and after the war, because of the questions about long-term ecological impacts and the effects on humans who either handled or were sprayed by the chemicals. Beginning in the late 1970s, Vietnam veterans began to cite the herbicides, especially Agent Orange, as a cause of health problems ranging from skin rashes to cancer to birth defects in their children. similar problems, including an abnormally high incidence of miscarriages and congenital malformations, have been reported among the Vietnamese people who live in the areas where the defoliating agents were used.
And a good friend of mine died about 10 years ago from Agent Orange. Okay, on 13 January 1997, seven black soldiers received the Medal of Honor for World War II valor. The lone survivor, former Lieutenant Vernon Baker, received his medal from President Clinton at the White House. And that's military history for today. Now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Front Lines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, a man driving his car in Chicago, Illinois, defended himself when a carjacker opened fire on him. The man was sitting inside his car in the west side of the city sometime after 1 a.m. that morning when another man approached him and opened fire. The driver, a concealed carry license holder, who was also armed at the time, then produced his own firearm and began to return fire. The two entered a brief exchange of gunfire, during which the driver's aim proved to be true, striking the would-be carjacker in the chest, ending the firefight. When police arrived, they discovered the stricken aggressor along with the gun he used, and he was taken to Loyola University Medical Center in critical condition.
Thanks, Colonel. So much to talk about, but so little time. So let's get right to the point. First off, let's ask the question, why was he sitting on a public street at 1 a.m. in one of the worst crime zones in the country? The article doesn't give us that information, but the question has to be asked. Now, it's quite possible that he had a good reason for being there, but it's also possible that he didn't. Some of you might say, hey, Skip, lighten up. He's the good guy, and he was attacked by a bad guy. He shot the bad guy, so give him a medal and let's move on. But the truth is, self-defense isn't always that black and white. Just because something was legal doesn't mean it was wise. Now, granted, if I'm in a parked car and someone starts shooting at me, well, then I have every right to defend myself. But here's the main point. Is it wise to be sitting in a parked car at 1 a.m. on a public street in one of the most violent, crime-ridden capitals of the country? The obvious answer is absolutely not. So the takeaway for the average person like you and I is this. Unless you have no choice, don't spend time in parked cars, especially in high crime areas in the middle of the night. For me personally, I live in Michigan, but I avoid Chicago like the plague. And it's nothing against the state of Illinois because I avoid Detroit as well. The bottom line is this. If you want to live a safe life, then you have to spend your time in a safe place. Now, obviously, safety is a relative thing. I live in the country, but I'm never completely safe. But here's the butt ugly truth about where you live. Out here in the sticks, I'm more likely to be run over by a farm tractor than I am of being murdered by a carjacker. Here's the advice I always give my city-dwelling friends. Get out of Dodge while the getting's good. Of course, I say that tongue-in-cheek because in reality, I don't want all the city people moving to the country because then it wouldn't be country anymore. In fact, now that I think of it, I've changed my mind. Go ahead and stay in Chicago, New York, Baltimore, and Portland. I think they're great places to raise a family. All joking aside, folks, if you have to live in the city, please be careful. Stay alert and stay away from the most dangerous parts of the city like parking lots. Be smart and be wise so you can go home to your family at night. This man did a great job returning fire and he survived. So Front Lines of Freedom salutes both him and his marksmanship.
I appreciate that, Skip. I think you hit the nail on the head. Our movie of the month is Two Strangers Who Meet Five Times. You can go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really like to get your comments. Would you send them to me at Danny@frontlinesoffreedom.com? It's a cool movie. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, Roger Canfield will return to discuss China. Then Air Force veteran Sean Meehan will discuss guarding the Constitution. We'll discuss ways to anticipate and prevent violent attacks. And Army veteran Joe Anderson will discuss his Vietnam service and the Michigan Hall of Honor. Our book, Front Lines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. You can purchase that book at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.